Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dave McManus, Berean Baptist Church, Fayetteville, North Carolina. It is Thursday, February 21st, 3:41 p.m., coming to you with a news and focus commentary today with a pretty disturbing article. Ironically, it's kind of parallel to some things that we've talked about in the past. The idea of a line of decency or a line of acceptability continually moving, and how we've seen that in the culture in recent history, how things have become more and more acceptable, more and more tolerated. And the question is, when does the line stop? When are we going to stop moving these goalposts? And I think this is one that should wake us up a little bit. This is from World Magazine. Andrea Sue Peterson, it was posted back on January 25th. So it's been around for a while here, but this is my first time coming across it. And the title is called Culture Creep, How an Orientation is Born. How an Orientation is Born. She says, I almost started this column by saying The Guardian is a mainstream British daily newspaper and not the UK's version of the National Enquirer. But that would insult the National Enquirer, which, whatever you want to say about supermarket tabloids, was the first to expose presidential candidate John Edwards' dalliances when respectable papers held their noses. On January 2nd, the respectable Guardian published an article, Pedophilia, Bringing Dark Desires to Light. Okay, so January 2nd, the British newspaper, The Guardian, published an article called Pedophilia, Bringing Dark Desires to Light. The title choice is more prophetic than intended, calling to mind Isaiah's, Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, in Isaiah 5:20. Below are excerpts, a case study in journalistic slouching toward Gomorrah. There is little agreement about pedophilia, even among those considered experts on the subject. Hey, imagine that. There is little agreement about pedophilia. Pedophilia is debated. The aspects of it, there's little agreement on it. So let's see what this is all about. Right off the bat, we are introduced to the notion of different opinions, which is strategy number one. The dark side, she references Ephesians 2:2, 5:11, and 6:12, need merely suggest that something evil is really only controversial. When the discussion begins at that level, the bad guys have already won ground. Pedophilia is now put forth as a subject on which reasonable people disagree. Right? So not evil, controversial. We don't want an absolute term like evil, because that would establish some sort of moral standard. So we're going to say controversial. And now there's differing opinions. Note a maneuver in 1 Kings 20 when the Israelites soundly defeat Syrian king Ben-Hadad. His servants tell him, the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us put sackcloth around our waists and ropes on our heads and go out to the king of Israel. They do that, asking King Ahab for mercy, and Ahab says of Ben-Hadad, he is my brother. The Syrian servants who were watching for a sign then say, yes, your brother Ben-Hadad. The purveyors of darkness are looking for a sign from us too. For mercy, unmoored to truth, corrodes to leniency. Mercy, unmoored or unsecured to truth, corrodes to leniency or tolerance. Relinquish the word wrong, accept the softer, reasonable difference of opinion, and the camel's nose is well under the tent. There's a great point here about our language and how we change it and how we can move away from these absolute terms and move to these ambiguous terms. We go from evil to controversial. We go from wrong to reasonable difference of opinion. I'm currently teaching the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis to our junior Bible class, and just a couple days ago, Lewis has a chapter just on this thing. Let's keep people away from absolute things, and let's make them think things as nebulous and ambiguous and non-definitive things. That's what Satan wants us to do. That's what he wants us to think about, and that's exactly what's happening here. Strategy number two, a pedophile is someone who has a primary or exclusive sexual interest in prepubescent children. Jimmy Savile, high-profile English pedophile, who knew that? There was high-profile English pedophiles. But Jimmy Savile appears to have been primarily an ephebophile, E-P-H-E-B-O-P-H-I-L-E, ephebophile, defined as someone who has a similar preferential attraction to adolescents. So now we've got more divisions. You've got pedophile, prepubescent children. Ephebophile likes adolescent children. Okay. Ephebophile is a brand new word for me. I suspect it will become nauseatingly familiar. But the point to notice is that now we have distinctions being proffered, a sophisticated taxonomy. Distinctions are strategy number two for normalizing evil. The making of them automatically confers a certain legitimacy without even having to argue for it. After all, you can't have varieties of something that don't exist. So circularly, if there are varieties of sexual orientation, they are real. And if real, they are not to be condemned. I just think this is brilliant. I just think this is right on point that we are just missing. This is just flying right over our heads, right? Distinctions are strategy number two for normalizing evil, because that's what this is all about. It's about normalizing evil behavior. It's about normalizing dysfunction so that we'll tolerate it. So if we make it distinct, there are distinctions. It's not just pedophile. Well, we have pedophile, we have ephebophile, we have other files, we have tons of files in this whole thing. And so if we've got variations of it, well, that sounds awful scientific, and now we have to really think about that. And these are real distinctions, and so now we can't possibly condemn something that's a real distinction. Strategy number three. Sarah Good, a senior lecturer at the University of Winchester and the author of two major 2009-2011 sociological studies on pedophilia in society, says the best current estimate is that 1 in 5 of all men are to some degree capable of being sexually aroused by children. If that doesn't make you physically sick, that's 20% based on this study. There's a growing conviction, notably in Canada, that pedophilia should probably be classified as a distinct sexual orientation, like heterosexuality or homosexuality. Two eminent researchers testified to that effect at to a Canadian parliamentary commission last year, and the Harvard Mental Health letter of July 2010 stated baldly that pedophilia is a sexual orientation. All right, so we've talked about this on podcast from here around the Berean mic. And we've talked about how the line in the sand is just going to get moved. It's just going to get moved farther along. And those in the gay activist movement will come at you and go, that's crazy. That's crazy. See, homosexuality, that's normal behavior. We're born that way. We can't help it. And you can't possibly be intolerant or discriminate towards us or condemn our lifestyle because we were born that way. And when we, logically thinking people, bring up, well, what's next? Is pedophilia next? No, that's crazy. Nobody would ever allow that. That's sick. You know, you're crazy to even link homosexuality to pedophilia or bestiality or something else terrible like that. We are nothing like those people. Well, according to these studies, these scientific studies who, you know, are obviously not coming from a Christian worldview, are saying that they think that pedophilia should be classified as a distinct sexual orientation like heterosexuality or homosexuality. So those of you that think that it can't move down the line, well, it just moved down the line. And pedophilia is now the next one to be pushed to be normalized since they've almost achieved that with homosexuality. Harvard, University of Winchester, major sociological studies. The canny takeaway message here, these people are smarter than you. Strategy number three is the domain of the professional. If we can back this up with stats and studies and surveys, well, now we've got something. Now we can legitimize this. Another quote from the article says, and few agree about what causes it. Is pedophilia innate or acquired? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine people sitting around and wondering and discussing and studying the idea that pedophilia is an innate thing? Because if I'm born gay, if I can say that I'm born gay and I can't help it and God wouldn't possibly want me to change, well, what's to stop the pedophile from saying the exact same thing? I was born this way. I have innate sexual attractions to children. Why would God want me to change? That's where the line's moving. No matter how many people want to say that that's not connected, that's exactly what's going on as we descend into this debauchery that's going on in our society. Professionals will pretend to argue about nature versus nurture for another year or so, as they did in the early days of the gay movement. Then someone will say, you say potato, I say potato, and no one will care anymore. Polymorphous promiscuity will prevail. The jig will be up. Some academics do not dispute the view of Tom O'Carroll, a former chairman of PIE, the Pedophile Information Exchange, who knew if such an organization existed, that society's outrage at pedophilic relationships is essentially emotional, irrational, and not justified by science. It's the quality of the relationship that matters, O'Carroll insists. I mean, I don't know why I'm laughing. It's sad. It's ridiculous. This guy that's a chairman of the Pedophile Information Exchange, I'd imagine a way to find young people in order to promote your horrible, debauched lifestyle to take advantage of these young people. He said that society's outrage at pedophilic relationships, a grown man or woman with a young child, is essentially emotional, irrational, and not justified by science. So our disgust and our anger at hearing this man talk about having a relationship with children, we're really just too emotional, we're being irrational, and really we're being unscientific, which is the go-to, right? We're unscientific. It's the quality of the relationship that matters, as if you could have a quality relationship as you take advantage of a young person. I mean, how sick is that? But look at what we've got going on here. If we're all just evolved creatures, if we're all just animals, then what would stop us from chalking this up to innate instincts? Because if we're just evolved from the goo, if we're just random creations, well, we might as well do whatever makes us happy. And who cares if I'm taking advantage of a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old, whatever it may be, because I'm just an animal anyway. And so I've got science on my side, and so I'm just going to take advantage of that. The last paragraph says, the thing to notice here is that while you weren't looking, the word relationship snuck in without debate. Another place gained. The language of alternative lifestyle slowly replaces today's more common terminology of abuse and victim. Right? He is talking about a pedophilic, a rape of a child, basically, as a relationship. And we're going to talk about same-sex relationships as not just relationships, but marriages, as unions. You'll hear that in the news a lot. We've replaced the words to make it seem a little bit nicer. It's not unnatural, it's natural. It's not sick, it's scientific. It's not something that should be avoided, it's something that should be accepted. So those of us that think we're so far away from moving down the line to pedophilia and bestiality and whatever other sick, horrible, sinful behavior you can think of, homosexuality is just the tip of the iceberg. And as sickening as that movement is, just wait and see where this is going to go. Because the line in the sand is going to continue to move. And if we don't watch out, who knows what we're going to wake up and see in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years in this country when we see our young children growing up in this world where not only is our homosexual marriage is accepted, but pedophilia is encouraged as a orientation, as a lifestyle, not even a lifestyle choice, something I am born with, something that I can't help, and something that you should not stand in my way to indulge. This isn't about marriage. The whole gay movement is not about marriage. It's not about the things that come with marriage. It's not about children and legacy and family and things like that, because that's entirely absent from that marriage relationship. It's about normalizing behavior. It's about burying sin in the sand and doing exactly what we want to do. That's what it's about. And that's why we can move into a conversation where we can have organizations that promote pedophilia and legitimize pedophilia and want to normalize that for society. What's next? What's next? How far are we going to go down this line? We need to be in prayer, brothers and sisters, because this is ugly and this is rough and it's going to keep getting worse. Stand for Christ. Stand for what's right. Stand for the Word of God. Stand for natural order of things as God created it, because that's what we're seeing in these examples. Sin in a fallen world and people becoming more and more corrupt. We are living in Sodom and Gomorrah. If you have any comments, please post to this recording. You can email me, dmcmanus, dmcmanus.bbc@gmail.com. Thanks.